My name is Lily Madwhip, and I think my dad is trying to kill me. He put Brussels sprouts on my plate. I know for a fact that Brussels sprouts are poison. Pasher says they're not, but they sure taste like it, I think. I never ate real poison, obviously. My brother Roger once knew a kid who drank so much cinnamon that he had to go to the hospital because it was eating away the inside of his tummy. That's what it feels like when I eat Brussels sprouts, like they're eating away at my insides.
Eat your breakfast, please, Lily, my mom tells me.
They're both trying to kill me. Brussels sprouts aren't even for breakfast. What kind of parents make their child eat Brussels sprouts for breakfast? I ask them this question. What kind of parents make their child eat Brussels sprouts for breakfast? You were told last night if you didn't eat them with your dinner, you were getting them cold in the morning, Dad says from behind his newspaper. Oh, yeah. Brussels sprouts taste like garbage. I haven't eaten garbage either, but I've smelled it, and it smells like Brussels sprouts.
Lillian Alexandra Madwhip.
Adults use your middle name when they're trying to make you do things, and somehow it works. Middle names are magic. Anyone who knows yours has power over you. That's probably why some people don't have middle names. The most important people don't even have last names, like Madonna and Jesus and Garfield. Whenever they catch a killer, they tell everyone the person's middle name so that if they escape, anyone who sees them knows how to protect themselves. Dad throws down his newspaper and storms off to his workroom with his coffee. He and Mom had a big fight after Jamal and I found all the dead animals out in the woods the other day. I heard them from my room where I was painting a still life. Dad said things and people around me keep dying and stuff about me being creepy, and Mom said I'm his daughter, so if I'm creepy, I get it from him. Then she got on her phone and called people who came and collected all the dead animals in big garbage bags. There was a whole crew, like 6 people. They had these huge thick gloves on and wore masks like you see doctors wear when they're operating on somebody. One lady had a clipboard and she wrote down every animal they found. There were 23 and a half squirrels. Things got worse when Mom came to tuck me into bed because I'd forgotten to tell her that Whiskers had died. All the yelling and banging of front doors and the van parked on the front lawn and garbage bags, and I didn't remember what started it all until she kissed me goodnight and saw his empty cage. Then, everything started right back up again. Except for the van and the people with the garbage bags. I sure hope they don't come back and dig up all my pets. I take the bus to school. Our bus driver's name is Ed. He's been driving buses for 34 years, but not the same bus because buses grow old too. He says his son was in the army and now he works as a layabout. I think that means he's in the circus. I bet he got a job as the guy who shoots trapeze people out of the cannon because he was in the army. At morning recess, I sit on one of the benches by the baseball diamond and watch a bunch of 6th graders play kickball. Jamal is playing with them. His school is down the street, and he and a couple other Catholic kids hang out and play with us most mornings because their school starts 15 minutes later. He looks happy for someone who still has nightmares about dead deer and bird banging and screaming at his bedroom window. He's going to kick the ball straight at Tyler O'Neill, and it's going to hit Tyler right in the crotch. I'm amused because I get to see it happen twice. Pasher's in my backpack. He tells me I shouldn't laugh at other people's pain, but when Tyler gets hit in the crotch, Pasher agrees that it's a little funny. There's a new girl in our class. Her name is Meredith. Mrs. C.D., that's our teacher, has her stand up in front of the class and introduces her. C.D. stands for Carter Dogville. She's got 2 last names. That probably makes it harder for other people to have power over her. Unless she's got no middle name. Mrs. C.D. used to be just Mrs. Carter, and then she married someone with the last name Dogbill and just nailed his last name onto the end of hers. Meredith just moved to town. She's real shy because she's got these marks on half her face. She covers them with her hair, but it's easy to see. Jeffrey Baker asks her what happened to her face and gets in trouble. Trouble in our class is these demerit slips you get for doing something wrong. 3 demerit slips in a week, and you get to go talk to the principal, Mr. Longbow. He yells a lot, and his face is always red from yelling. Meredith's face is red, too. Pasher says she's got burns. I wonder if she's a pyromaniac. That's somebody who's crazy about fire. I mean, literally crazy. There was this boy in Roger's grade who was a pyromaniac, and when he went camping with his Boy Scout troop, saw a spider in his tent and tried to kill it with hairspray and a cigarette lighter. He got burns all over his body because the tent caught fire with him inside of it. Mrs. Carter Dogbill asks us all what we say to Meredith, and nobody knows until Hannah Glass guesses, "Hello?" And then we're all like, "Oh yeah." It was pretty funny nobody knew what Mrs. CD was talking about. I was going to guess, "Sorry you got burned," but I'm not supposed to know that, I think. Mrs. CD makes Meredith sit next to me in the back of the room. Pasher tells me to be very nice because new kids are scared. I was going to be nice anyway. I make sure to blink a lot because I don't want her to think I'm staring at her burns. They make her face look kind of waxy, like a candle. "Hi, I'm Lily," I tell her. "New kids are the best because I haven't freaked them out yet." I know. I don't know how she knows that. Maybe some other kids already told her about me. I hope it wasn't Rachel, whose dog died from seizures. Meredith pulls stuff out of her backpack. She's got a green pencil that's all glittery and has a rainbow eraser. Her notebook is 3 subjects, so it's already 3 times better than mine. She pulls out a Barbie doll and sets it on the front of her desk like I do with Pasher, and this thing is horrifying. It's got no clothes at all, and most of its hair is missing. There's black scorch marks on its face, and one of its hands is melted into a lump. I can't help it. I gotta stare at this doll. "This is Barbie," Meredith says and turns her Barbie toward me. Oh God, its face is kind of melted too. I make Pasher salute Barbie. "This is Pasher." But then I feel bad because Barbie doesn't have articulated limbs like Pasher, and her hand is a lump anyway. Meredith sits next to me at lunch. Nobody else sits by me, so new kids usually end up there. But she doesn't just sit at the table, she sits next to me. She has a purple lunchbox with planets and comets on it. I have a paper bag with my name on it in Sharpie. Her lunch is a peanut butter sandwich and some carrot sticks and a plastic bottle of lemonade with... Oh my God, she has Oreos! I've got a high C and some blue corn chips and a pepperoni and mustard sandwich. My dad snuck more cold Brussels sprouts into my lunch. I can't tell if it's meant to be a joke or not. I swear, he's trying to kill me. Meredith asks permission from the lunch monitor to go use the bathroom, and she leaves her melted Barbie and Oreos with me. Not like I get to keep them, but she says she trusts me to protect them. The moment she's gone, though, her Barbie starts talking. It tells me its name is Nathaniel. I've never met another doll that spoke to me like Pasher does. I ask if it's an angel like Pasher, and it says it is. I wonder if every doll has an angel in it. That would be a lot of angels, but I guess if they run out, God could just make more. I ask Nathaniel if Meredith knows he's an angel, and if he minds being a melted Barbie with boobies. No and no. Then he tells me that Meredith has a gift like me. I ask him if she sees things before they happen, and he says that she doesn't. He says her gift is that she burns things. Like a pyromaniac? Kind of. Has she ever burned a spider in a tent? No. She burned her parents, though. Burned them right up. They're not even buried like Roger is. They're ashes, and they got scattered in a park. He says Meredith lives with a foster family now, and they don't know that she burns things. They try to be nice to her, but she's always sad because she knows she burned up her folks and she misses them. It's okay for her to be sad, Nathaniel says. But if she gets angry, I need to get away. That's when she starts burning things. Meredith comes back and Nathaniel goes quiet. She looks happy because I guarded her Oreos and melted Barbie, but I'm scared now because what if someone hits her with a dodgeball in gym class and she sets us all on fire? The boys want to play dodgeball all the time because it's the only time they can hit us girls and not get in trouble. The bell rings for afternoon recess, and Meredith lets me have one of her Oreos because all I got left are Brussels sprouts. "Do you want to play on the swings?" she asks. "Okay." I'm sweating the whole time we're swinging. Out of fear, not because Meredith is hot. I don't know how she burns things. Nathaniel didn't tell me. I think she uses her mind, but maybe she has laser eyes like Superman and Cyclops. Those are comic book characters, though. They're not real. Lisa Welch and her crew of jerk girls start coming over. She always looks smug. Probably because she is smug. Her dad is a dentist, so her teeth are always perfect, and she likes to show them off by smiling at everybody, even people she hates, like me. I'm probably going to need braces. I know Lisa and her friends are going to make fun of Meredith because making fun of people who look different is their favorite thing to do after chasing the boys around the baseball diamond when they're trying to play kickball and telling each other stories about stupid stuff their parents bought them, like briar horses and jewelry with their names on it in case they forgot their stupid names. Stupid Lisa Welch and her crew of jerk girls. "Hi, Lily," Lisa says. She makes it sound like she's singing when she says hi. I guess that's how smug people do things. "Who's your new friend?" I hop off the swing and stare at Lisa because I'm good at staring. "If you don't go away, you're going to trip and break your front tooth on a rock." I'm lying, but Lisa Welch and her crew of jerk girls don't know I'm lying. They just know that I tell people things before they happen. She covers her precious mouth and starts to run away. But then she trips and falls on her face, and next thing we all know, she's crying and clutching her face and bleeding from the mouth, and they're all yelling to one of the recess monitors that I put a curse on her. I'm just shocked. "Lily Madwood put a curse on Lisa," they're crying. Lisa's wailing like a banshee. That's an Irish ghost that screams all the time. I saw one in an episode of Scooby-Doo. Mr. Longbow comes out of nowhere, steaming because he's always red in the face like his brain is boiling or something. I think he has the ability to teleport because he's never there, and then the moment someone breaks a rule, he's suddenly right there. He starts yelling at me. "Lily, did you push Lisa? Come with me, young lady." Meredith hops off her swing. "Lily didn't touch her." "Excuse me?" Mr. Longbow isn't used to kids actually saying things to him besides crying or wetting their pants in pure terror. "Lily just told her to go away and she fell on her own." By then, the crew of jerk girls have hurried off with Lisa Welch and the recess monitor, so none of them refute this. Not that they could. I mean, that is really all I did. I'm still kind of in shock, though, because I've never had that happen before. I didn't see Lisa fall and break her stupid tooth. I just told her it was going to happen, and it happened, even though I didn't actually think it would. What if I told Mr. Longbow to cluck like a chicken, and he started clucking like a chicken? That makes me giggle. Mr. Longbow notices. He didn't see my thoughts, though, so it's not funny to him. I end up going to his office anyway. He likes paintings of eagles. They're all over his office. I wonder if it's because he's bald, like the eagles. Maybe he wishes he was a bald eagle. I have to tell him again that I didn't touch Lisa Welch. I just told her to go away and she tripped and fell and broke her tooth on her own. I leave out the part where I told her that she'd trip and break her tooth before it happened. Mr. Longbow lets me go, but tells me to stay away from Lisa Welch. I had no intention of hanging out with her anyway. She and her crew of jerk girls all play with their expensive briar dolls and make fun of Pasher because I got him from a thrift shop and he's an action figure. So what? I bet none of their dolls know anything. When I get back to class, Meredith waves and smiles at me. Nathaniel, her melted Barbie angel, is sitting on her desk. I wave and smile back, but I'm still scared because if I'm going to be friends with Meredith, it feels like being friends with a shark. Maybe the shark likes you, but then maybe the shark is hungry and doesn't care. I hope she doesn't burn me. I spend the rest of school quiet because I'm a little worried about saying things and making them happen. After school, I take the bus home. Pasher tells me I need to be careful around Meredith. Yeah, I know. He tells me there are things I don't know. I know that too. He tells me things are about to get much worse and that he's sorry. I don't know what that means. I get home and Dad is in the backyard. He's dug up most of my pets and he's been filling garbage bags with their remains. He says it's unsanitary to have so many dead things buried in the backyard, and that they probably poisoned the grass which killed the deer and the rabbit and the 23.5 squirrels and all the voles and moles, but I point out that squirrels eat nuts, not grass, and there were raccoons too. And besides, what about the half a squirrel, Dad? You're going to put my pets back, I tell him. He doesn't. I don't know why it worked on Lisa Welch and not my dad. Instead, he tells me to go do my homework, and that we're having pork chops and asparagus for dinner tonight. Asparagus? I'm telling you, he's trying to kill me.